Howdy, howdy, howdy. It's your host, Sarah, joined by Joe on your favorite podcast, Shoujo, where we talk about shoujo anime series, our current one being My Happy Marriage, which we're at the halfway mark of season two as of this episode, and we'll discuss shortly. But first, we're going to catch up because we're a couple of pals here. So Joe's taking a sip of a nice beverage. So has a table coming, so his life is exciting stuff right now. Why don't you tell us a bit more about how's it going, Joe?
I bought a table. I don't have a dining room table, which made it kind of awkward when my mom came to visit me. So I am correcting that mistake, and I bought a table that is going to get delivered to me sometime. It was supposed to be now, but clearly they haven't messaged me or anything, so they have until 7 p.m. when this store closes that they're delivering it from. I don't know.
Will I get this table? Delivery mid recording.
Yeah, so who knows? Maybe I'll get this. Maybe I won't. It's a mystery. Mystery delivery. That was one of many mysteries that happened to me in the last 2 days.
Enlighten us.
Because yesterday, I went out to run some errands because I was going to go get some groceries because, you know, I'm kind of exhausted on groceries. I've kind of eaten all my leftover food from the holidays, so I got to start making food for myself. And I go out to my car and I see that somebody has rammed into the front of it somehow while it is in the parking lot. So somebody like hit the front part of my car that was parked.
And so you backed into your spot?
No, I somehow they turned into it from the far side. It's like they turned into the spot and then overturned and hit my car.
No, nothing.
Dented all the side of it. Broke the mirror, so I just super glued the mirror back on.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
did you have a meltdown?
I did not have a meltdown.
Oh, I did not.
I didn't even notice the body damage. I just noticed the like rear view or the side mirror was like dangling, and I'm like, what the heck happened here? Did someone just like walk into this? Like, how did that happen? Because it was dark out when I went out there. So I just like, you know, I had some super glue. I just went and like glued it back on because it was like the plastic part was broken. I was like, that's really weird. I don't know why that happened. And then it wasn't. And then I ran on my errands, and then I came back and saw all of the body damage on the front that I just hadn't seen. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess I will file an insurance claim now.
Oh my god. Oh, that, why? Okay, why, what's the point in getting a car? Everyone just wants to ruin your car.
Yeah,
that's the lesson I learned last year. You're learning it right away this year.
Learning it now. Yeah. No, people, I don't like cars. This is part of the reason.
You want the car you bought to not get wrecked? Ow. Sorry, I'm so mad on your behalf. Continue.
Yeah. So, you know, that happened. I mean, it happens, I guess. There's nothing you could do about that. But, you know, it would be nice if people didn't hit and run cars all the time, but, you know, that's what everybody does because there's no consequence for doing it. Very cool stuff. Anyway.
No.
So I'm going to have to drop my car off, or I'm going to have to get it, you know, repaired or fixed or whatever. So I'll have a rental car for a little bit whenever that gets set up, probably in like a week or two.
Gotcha. Okay. Sorry to hear that.
You know what happens? I was very like, whatever about it, because I'm like, yeah, of course. Because I hate it. I have
such a hard time accepting. You're just like, yep, it happens. I'm like, how could this happen?
Yeah, because I hate cars and they're just a huge money sink. So I go out there and see that I'm going to have to sink more money into it. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much what I expected. Mm. I don't understand people who like love owning cars. Like, they aren't just the biggest liability ever.
Well, they super are. They're the biggest risk we all take every day getting in one. I don't know. I guess it's like the only big thing I'll probably ever own. I owned my last car. As soon as I own it, it's done though. But I'm like, I don't know.
Dreams of home ownership, zero.
Yeah, for real. Zero. expectation of reaching that level of security. That's fine. I like to live on the dangerous side of life and never know what my future holds.
Yeah, how fun.
Only know what day to day is. Yep.
Yep. So that's what I was up to. Other than that, been playing Silent Hill F, getting some different endings. You can really fly through that game when you don't have to do anything, when you're just going through it and you drop the difficulty down to very easy and you're like incredibly strong because you have all these stat boosts. So I'll probably like try to get a couple more of those endings.
Nice. So I got one of the Steam Awards.
Oh, nice.
For like style or something, I think. Nice. Oh, and I know Hollow Knight beat out Expedition 33. Not Hollow Knight, with Silk Song.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Steam Game of the Year.
Yeah, speaking of that, you've been playing that, huh?
I have. I've been playing a lot. Like a lot of Expedition 33. Like there's a song I like, and now I just play that on loop as I go to sleep. So I'm just like in it big time right now. Yeah, so I am liking it. It's weird because it's like I like that it's a game that I like am playing. But I don't know like that the gameplay necessarily, like I super suck at the gameplay because it's all very much like timing and rhythm, like pairing and stuff. And I super duper suck at that.
Yeah.
So I'm playing on the easiest setting. And even then, the beginning was still very difficult to get the hang of. But there's certain, I don't know, there's like, it's an indie game, so it's quite the feat for what, you know, that can mean a lot of things now, I guess. But the music's incredible. The voice actors are good. Yeah, because it's not a lot of JRPGs that I play. And this is like it'd just be a French RPG, but it's like in the Japanese traditional style of RPGs. Which I normally am not into, but I'm doing it for this one. Because I will say the combat, because a lot of like Persona and this and that, sometimes it can feel like the same fight over and over again, but somehow they've kept it pretty fresh. Like encounter feels pretty.
That's good.
Like it doesn't get stale. So whatever they did there, it's working.
That's always my concern.
Yes. And like, I'm exploring everything I can, like, in the moment. It doesn't feel tedious, which is nice. But, yeah, I really have been. So I'm like, what am I going to do? Because I basically was wanting a game to play. I found it. I'm blowing through it. And then what?
Then what
am I going to do with all this free time?
Yeah, what's on the other end of the...
I don't know. Because I'm on, like, season 38 of Survivor 2, so I'm almost done watching all those.
How many are there?
49, but I've watched 47, 8, and 9, so I just need to watch to season 45. I don't know. Maybe I'll get back to working out. I'm planning to work out. I know I have a slice of pizza here, but after recording, I'm going to work out. And then...
Yeah.
Come back and game some more probably. But yeah, I'm going to a convention. I'm going to IkiCon, the one that we went to together last year. I'm going again this year.
Oh.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. And finish Stranger Things. It's over now. People don't like the ending, whatever. I like have enjoyed the show, but I don't think I've ever, the first season was really good. Past that, I was like, oh, this, you know, like we're losing it a bit with each season. So I wasn't that upset that like the ending was like perfectly satisfactory. But that's another thing done.
Cross it off. I only watched season one like a bajillion years ago. So
season one's really good. Like I rewatched the whole show for this last season, and it's like I have this fondness for a decade I never got to experience myself, but maybe because I had young parents, it didn't feel that far removed from myself, or it's like when they were kids is when it was the 80s. And so listening to it just seems like a decade of people doing stuff together, which I feel like I didn't do growing up as much. So I like have a fondness for the idea of the 80s. And so it was nice watching that show.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah. Yep. That's what I've been doing. Just a lot of Expedition 33.
Are you gonna dress up to IkiCon?
Yes, I am. It's a new one.
Ooh.
I'm going with someone who's cosplaying for the first time. Ooh. And I recently showed them Haikyuu. And so Haikyuu is what they're wearing. And so I'm just gonna they're one of the players, so they're wearing like the uniform,
mm-hmm.
which is just like a jersey and shorts. And then I'm gonna be one of the team managers, which is easy because basically I just have to order this black jacket and then I can just wear like a white shirt and athletic pants and then boom. And like a side pigtail, and then I'm one of the managers, whatever. So kind of chill cosplay, but that way I'm attached to the person who's cosplaying for the first time.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. And
it's good.
I don't have to wear a wig. I probably should, but I'm not going to.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sweet. You know what's not fun?
What?
No, just kidding. Talking about this show? Ooh.
Talking about the show. You don't like, are you not having a good time with the show? It's like becoming more plotty.
I guess so.
You don't like it. Do you not like the pace? What's going on here? I feel like we need to have a conversation about this.
I don't like it.
What's happening here?
I don't dislike it as much as I did, but I'm ready for it to be over.
Ready for it to be? We're only at the halfway of season two.
I know.
And there's so much more happening. Yep. You're not interested in the intrigue at all?
Cult stuff? No.
What? So,
Shoujo for?
Have you been watching any, like, anime outside that? Like, what is something you're enjoying right now, like, as a contrast?
I watched the opening. I just watched the opening for Rideback and was like, hell yeah. All I did was watch the opening for that. But I was so excited for that.
The opening is not the same.
I like things I'm excited for. I'm excited for whatever that next one by the author of Full Metal that's coming out. That should be good. I don't know.
Yeah,
right now,
I saw
I'm like,
that.
Oh, if there's nothing good right now, maybe I should just watch a show I haven't watched in a while that I enjoyed, like, I don't know, the beginning of Bleach or something.
Hmm. Okay, so you're not enjoying anything. You're not enjoying anything right now. Just bad times
I'm
all around.
I'm enjoying Expedition 33 right now.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I'm just in gaming phase now.
Gaming phase. I see.
Yes. I cycle through. Well, because I've been socializing a lot. The last, quarter of 2025 was I'm doing things IRL, so I'm not doing games or I'm not watching anime.
Wow. You touched
and right
grass
now
and now you don't like
I
anime
can only
anymore.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
Just like they said. It would. Just like they said would happen.
The person I introduced Haikyuu to, I'm like, all I want to do is, because they were like, oh, let's watch this show together that neither of us had seen, and I was like, no, I just want to show you the good stuff that I know is good and just rewatch the old shows that I know is good.
I'm glad you found somebody who likes to watch Haikyuu with you. I'm sorry that was not me.
No, it's okay. I wouldn't think I would like sports anime either. Mm. Dude, I even watch freaking football on New Year's Eve. So.
Wow.
I am tolerating all the sports in my life right now.
That's pretty good.
Yep. I watched a football game the other day, kind of. I had my Steam Deck, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Sarah's tolerating things. To hang out with people. Anyways, let's get to it.
Yeah. All right. My Happy Marriage, season 2, episode 5. I didn't do voice actors because I don't think we get any new characters here.
That's fine.
So we don't have anything new to really talk about. We're kind of just going along with it. So episode 5 is called Deep Within the Heart. I'm showing the document to you. Okay. We open on Mio cleaning the outside of the barracks for some reason. I don't know why she's doing this. Is this just what she does, I guess?
Yeah. I don't know if cleaning a stone is the most productive way, but I guess she's probably run out of things to do hanging around there.
I guess she would be bored. I don't know what she does day to day, but yeah, this is what she's doing. Yep. She overhears the guys from last episode who like sparred with Karko talking about how they saw her cleaning the kitchenette, and then they talk about how women are unfit to be in the army and say a bunch of sexist things. Mio decides to confront them, saying that Karko is here based on merit. I thought we were here based on merit. This is not a merit-based army. And the guy who lost to Karko challenges Mio on that and gets really aggressive about it, but Mio doesn't back down. She's going for it.
I like that she's standing up for her friend.
Yeah. No, this is good. She brings up how Kaoruko beat him in a match, and he gets angry and is about to hit her, but he's stopped by Kaoruko herself, who shows up. And then the boys angrily storm off. And Kaoruko apologizes to Mio and comments that guys like that are really frustrating. Bad vibes, like, at the barracks.
Are the like goons hanging out with the main one with a problem? They're never like, sorry about him, he's kind of a jerk, whatever. And no. They're always like, wait for us.
Yeah, really stereotypical.
Uh-huh.
Dudes. Mio invites her to eat some sweet buns that she made, and they do that together, and then they have like a pretty good time hanging out. Later, Mio and Kyoka visit Goto at the hospital. They run into a doctor who knows Kyoka named Jakuji Unana or Unan. And like normal, Kyoka does not like him very much because he does not like any other guys in the show. Mio and Jakuji shake hands, and he comments that her hands are dry from housework. He leaves, and Kyoka explains that he's a relative on his mother's side and that he's weird, but he's also good at his job. And Mio notices that her chapped hands were healed from that handshake from earlier. Mio and Kyoka enter Goto's room, and we see Goto and his boyfriend Kazuishi here because he's always there with them together. Kyoka is immediately struck by Goto's wounds and doesn't say anything. Mio goes to greet him and asks him how he's doing, and Goto assures her that he's doing pretty well. Then he asks Kyoka why he's just standing by the door, and Kyoka makes some excuse to leave. And Kazuishi and Mio are confused, but Goto explains that he's probably reminded about Goto's father. And then we go into flashback mode,
which, again, we never get any kind of visual cue for.
We don't. This one had a little bit more, I think. Okay. Goto explains that his father tried to recruit Kyoka as a young man to replace him as commander in the anti-grotesquery unit. And we get a flashback to Goto's father telling Kyoka that people with power have a duty to improve the world with it. But young Kyoka counters that he does not desire power and leaves. This was good. I was like, goated. Goated Kyoka. Denying the call. The hero's call or whatever.
He did not look good in his schoolboy uniform.
He looks bad in all of his uniforms. He should just not be in uniform ever.
Yeah, well, because they're so dark and basic, and he's got pretty hair, and he should wear a pretty outfit to match.
Yeah. Apparently, Goto's father tried a few more times, but Kyoka never took the deal. Because of that, Goto's father stayed on as commander and eventually was killed during an incident, and Kyoka blames himself for not accepting the role, which he eventually does. End of flashback. Mio apologizes to Goto for having to explain all that, but he's like, nah, it's cool, you're his fiance, you should talk to him about stuff like that. Stuff about his past. Also, you should ask him about Junichi, or, Kaoruko. It's stuff. But then he's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. And Miyoko's like, what's up with her? Why do I have to ask him about her? And Goto's like, I don't really want to say. But then Kazuishi is like, I'll say. And tells Mio that Kaoruko was another candidate for marrying Kyoka in the past. We cut to outside the room where Kaoruko is conveniently standing behind the door to hear this exchange. And she freaks out and runs off. Later, Mio and Kyoka walk home, and Mio thinks about what she's learned today. They sit on a bench by a pond, and Kyoka apologizes for freezing up earlier. He recaps the situation with Goto's father and explains that he was going through a rebellious phase at the time, or he would have taken the offer probably, but he didn't, and because of that he lost his friend. And he's like, sorry I didn't tell you that earlier, even though I don't know why you would have told him that earlier.
Yep, nope.
Mio is like, thanks for sharing, but I have a different question that I'm thinking about. I heard you and Kaoruko were briefly engaged. Do you, love her or anything? And Kyoka's like, what? No, of course I don't love her. I love you. Kaoruko is a very talented soldier, but she's nothing more than that to me. Mio's like, okay, weird exchange.
Silly. Well, it's like, well, it makes sense as far as like a young girl with no experience being insecure about anything to do with like the guy she's into, romantic past. Like, I feel like that's a pretty, like, even if it's silly, because it's like, obviously he's with you now, but like, you can't help yourself get upset knowing that there was ever anything before when you're young. So I guess I understand that.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean, right? None of them worked out. I wish we would have gotten more like early on of like hearing more about like what the history was with other people and this and that before she got involved. Because I feel like we had just been told and now they're adding more stuff after the fact of details.
Yeah, it would be nice if we got a couple more scenes where like Kaoruko and Kyoka like interacted with each other and she was like, and they were kind of awkward. Or like some other kind of indication of that going on before this moment. Because this does kind of feel like a little out of nowhere.
Something else later that we're going to talk about also feels out of nowhere.
Later that night, Mio has an ominous dream where she sees images of people at the barracks reflected in shattered glass. And lastly, she sees an image of Naoshi looking menacing in a shard of glass that pierces her hand. And then she wakes up and wonders what that was about.
Not thinking, I'm the dream maiden. Maybe that means something when I dream.
Well, it's weird because, like, this is not really what her power is supposed to be. So I don't know. No. It's very odd. Later, she goes to the barracks to see Kairuko in the kitchenette. And she tells her that she went to see Goto yesterday and that she has some leftover snacks that they can have. Kairuko apologizes and says that they probably shouldn't be friends anymore. And then she explains that she had also gone to see Goto and accidentally overheard them talking. And Mio's like, oh, well, you should have just come in then. But Kairuko explains that she couldn't because she was actually in love with Kyoka. But it was totally one-sided and she was pretty devastated when it was broken off. So, like, I'm still kind of in my feelings about it. She says she feels awkward about being friends with Mio, but she had such a good time hanging out with her that she didn't, like, think about it. But she still isn't totally over Kyoka, though, so it's, like, this weird thing where, like, I'm kind of in love with your fiancé, but also I still want to be friends with you because I like hanging out with you independent of that. I don't know. She starts crying, and Mio asks her to, she's like, look at me. And then Mio says that they would really suck if they couldn't keep being friends because of this. She really loves Kairuko, and, like, she's my first girlfriend that I just have. It's my age, you know? You're like my first real friend. And Mio says that she doesn't believe that romantic love is stronger than platonic love and they should just work through this. And then they both have a good cry about it.
Yeah, I like that.
Yay. That's good.
Yes, don't let it unresolve or don't let it fester. Just deal with it.
Yeah, just deal with it. Just confront it immediately. And also, yeah, romantic love doesn't have to be stronger than platonic love. You can you can balance many relationships at the same time. You have two hands.
Yep.
Elsewhere, Arata is walking near the Capitol and sees a car pull out with a tied up, not dead emperor in it. So I guess he's alive still. I thought he blew up last season, but
I was like, what is happening?
He rushes in to see all the gate guards are all caught in hypnosis and thinks this is now she's doing. Kyoka gets word of the emperor's abduction and he sets out and tells Kairuko to protect Mio here at the barracks. He leaves, and we see the gate guards at the barrack fall under a vision of him drowning as now she enters the barrack grounds. In the dojo, Mio sits in a chair surrounded by guards in a very awkward situation. The lights cut out, and suddenly now she appears, and they all turn to him. Now she's like, well, 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 look who's here as we cut to credits. We're moving this episode.
Yes. I just feel like they drop. I don't know. Kairuko is kind of just, I feel like I like her as a character, and I just wish that the things that are added to her as a character weren't in this, because I feel like they don't suit her, like, or we weren't, yeah, there was no, like, implied tension between them, whatever, blah, 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 you know, right away, it's like she approaches Mio wanting to be friends, and I don't know, like,
yeah, I feel like
more. Why she only had to be here for three episodes, you know, like, come on.
Maybe this has to do with this, the way this is adapted from a light novel, but it feels a little too episodic to me. Like, I would have liked it better if this was like, and this is kind of a problem the show has had, I feel like, the whole time, where, like, somebody will be introduced and then we'll kind of rush through the plot, like the storyline of it, and then we kind of get to the end. It would be better if things were, like, signified earlier in the story, right? Like, you can imagine Kairuko being introduced earlier in this season, like, maybe at the beginning of this season. You know, not in, like, such a prominent role, but, like, in a, you know, they become friends then, right? And not during, like, this kind of nebulous time skip that happens between this episode and the previous one. You could also imagine that, like, we had some references to Kyoka's family, like, in season one. And then we, like, finally get to meet them, and there's, like, some build up to that instead of all of it just kind of happening in, like, a 1-2 punch. Yeah, I wish they would do more of that stuff. It does really feel like this is the book where Kairuko gets introduced and has her whole thing. And then we're done with her at the end of it. And this is the book where we go to you know, we meet Kyoka's mom and do her little thing, and then we end that, and then we're done with it. I wish it felt a little more like continuous things as opposed to like individual short episodes.
Yeah. Like, is this what is, would you, do you think something like Sweet Valley High is a light novel then? Where it's,
I don't know what that is. What is like, Sweet Valley High?
You know, it's like they're very small books, but about these two twin sisters who live in, I don't know, they're like blonde and Californian, and each book has a new thing, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, I wonder if, like, in my mind, light novels are only like in Japan, but that can't, that's not.
Well, they're like novellas here.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Right. Just like a short little thing.
Yeah.
That may be like released in like parts. That's kind of the difference, I feel like. It's like light novels are released in parts.
Yeah. Good book series. I don't think you would enjoy it, but Sweet Valley High.
Yeah. So that part is a little awkward. I mean, we're kind of done with Cargo at the end of this episode, or at the end of the next episode, which is kind of a bummer. But that's like a weird thing about the pacing. We get a lot of stuff this episode, though. Mm-hmm. We get Kyoka's backstory, which is like about him not being Spider-Man, but like I don't really get what that has to do with his arc as a character, because like I don't know, is this a problem he has? But I guess this is the second time Godo has gotten hurt. Well, no, he saved Godo from getting hurt last season, and then he wasn't there and he got hurt this season. But like it's hard for me to know what's going on with Kyoka in this situation, like what I'm supposed to take away. It kind of almost feels like that stuff happens to remove him from the scene, as opposed to him having like a broader story or like character arc with it.
Yeah, just so he can leave the room and not have a moment with his bro.
Yeah,
who wants it so desperately.
Yeah,
to be comforted by his commander.
A lot of stuff in this show is about getting Kyoka out of the room, it feels like.
Yeah. Total, it for real. It's this like this whole thing of like getting lured away. How many times have we fallen for this trap, Kyoka? They're always going for Mio. Never think it's anything else. It's always just them luring you away, and then you always make it back in time.
I feel like this is a problem where they made Kyoka too strong. So it's like how you can't have like Goku can't be there at the beginning of a Dragon Ball Z arc. So they have to have some reason for him to be somewhere else.
Yeah, so that and the time it takes him to fly back, his friends get chances to fight.
To do something,
and not die, but need to be rescued when he does get there.
Yeah, it's very much like that. Which, I don't know. Like, I think it's fine because I like all the Mio stuff, but it does mean that Kyoka does not get a lot of screen time to interact with people. He gets a lot of screen time alone, but not really like with other people all that much.
Stop
me if you've heard this one before.
God.
what if you were in the military as a woman, kind of acting like a man, and you maybe were in love with the guy who is in a relationship with the person you're sworn to protect? Have we heard that one before?
Yes, and we saw it handled much more interestingly.
And longer. Much more longer.
Yes.
She's such an Oscar. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Listener, if you did not listen to our coverage of The Rose of Versailles, this is a big part of what happens at The Rose of Versailles. But you should go listen to that. You should go watch that. Very funny when this happened. I'm like, oh my God.
You're right. Well, yeah, maybe that's what it just feels like, a pale invitation.
But it's not really doing that stuff, is the thing.
No, not really. It just says it did, but I guess we just have to. And then the next thing, it's like that happens. I feel like they could have leaned into this being the reason why it happened and not what they end up doing.
But yeah.
Anyways, we should get into the next episode.
Yeah, into the next episode. But like, I mean, it's good in service of like, I like how Mio handles this. Like, I think everything, like all of the character stuff with Mio is really good here. How she decides to approach this, how she wants to resolve it, that kind of stuff. Like, all of that's really good. So I'm still enjoying this part of it. But I wish it was distributed over more episodes than how condensed it feels like here. It feels a little like whiplash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so some stuff we're going to learn next episode, in episode 6, which is called The Man Called Naoshi Usui. We open on Kyoka and crew rendezvousing with Arata. They tracked the Emperor to the royal villa where he was taken. Kyoka cautions them to be wary because it could be a trap. Like, with Goto when he blew up in the trap earlier. And then he and Arata both look at each other and are like, wait a minute, a trap? Maybe this entire thing was a trap. And then then, General Okaito shows up and tells them that Takahito got a message that this is all a trap. And they're like, well, shit. Back in the dojo, Mukadayama, who's like the dojo guy that we met before, who like explained that people don't like women in the army, asks Naoshi how he got past their barrier while signaling to his men. And one of his men tries to send a message, but it's incinerated by the barrier because they realize that the barrier has not been dispelled. It's been inverted. So they're all stuck inside now. Naoshi comments that maybe he's not even here. Maybe this is all an illusion. I'm the illusion guy after all. Are you really sure this is happening? Pretty weird how we all ended up in this situation, huh?
Freaking troll.
The number of times he says this basic sentence of like, hey, I'm the illusion guy. Did you forget that's my whole deal? All the time. And then he's like, anyway, it's not surprising that the barrier was messed with because I have an inside man. And then he points to Kariko and thanks her for her service because she's his inside man. Everyone's like, what the hell does that mean? But then Kariko confirms that she was the one who messed with the barrier because now she took her father hostage and tortured him in front of her. And she apologizes. This is very sudden.
And I'm like, who? Your dad?
Hey, your
Who's
dad?
That? When did this transpire? Like...
Yeah. Now she is like, torture your father. Are you really sure I did that? I am the illusion guy after all. And Kariko says that he must have because she watched it all happen. But then one of the soldiers says that he saw Kariko's father like a few days ago and he was totally fine. And Kariko realizes that it was all an illusion and she just betrayed Mio for no reason.
So this is just so not, I feel like a not interesting way. Or I just tie it in where it was like before her and Mio were friends, then she let him in because she wanted Mio out of the way to get with Kyoko, but now that she's gotten to know Mio, blah blah blah, but maybe that's already happened so many times since I just said it because it's predictable, but makes more sense than this.
Yeah, this is where I feel like this stuff should have been signaled earlier in these episodes, because this is really the first we're hearing about any of this stuff.
Like, we're just making it up as we go. No plan in advance.
Now I wish there was more signaling for this happening. But anyway, this happens. Now she tells Mio to come join her papa, but Mukadayama has had enough and he draws his sword. But then he stopped when he sees two of his soldiers attacking each other. And the whole room breaks into chaos as now she tricks the soldiers into attacking each other. Mukadayama rushes now she, but hesitates when now she makes him hallucinate being at the edge of a cliff. And now she uses the opportunity to stab him. All that happens. And now the only people who's left are Mio and Kariko. Kariko activates her ability, which is like a physical enhancement ability, which makes her start growing like a crimson red color, which is pretty cool. She and now she start fighting, but it's pretty clear that now she's way better somehow. The battle rages, but eventually he's able to beat her without too much effort, and he slams her into a window, breaking the glass, and Mio realizes that that's what her dream was about from last episode. She's like, oh, I was seeing the future. Too bad that's not useful now.
No. Yeah.
So now it's just Mio and Naoshi, and now she tells her to come with her father, and Mio is like, one, no. Two, you're not my father. And now she insists that being Sumi's daughter is close enough to him being her father, and Mio's like, that's not how family works, but now she really doesn't care. And he's like, all right, listen, you gotta stop responding to everything I'm saying. Like, I'm just gonna take you by force. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm out of one-liners. We gotta go. he lunges for her, but is stopped when the barrier starts absorbing a ton of lightning, and they turn to see that Kyoka is shocking the barrier, and eventually he breaks it, and now she activates an ability that makes everyone get a splitting headache, and he runs away. Kyoka and Mio reunite and embrace, and they're like, yeah, it's all good, you know, everything's fine. Kyoka shows up, saves the day again. We did it, team. The next day, Okaito and Arata finish their investigation of the royal villa to confirm that the emperor was not abducted. I guess he was just there. I don't know. Arata overhears some soldiers comment that maybe Arata was working with Naoshi because they're both from the same family. So maybe that's what's going on. Arata requests to investigate Sting alone, and Okaito is like, listen, man, I don't think you're going to win anybody over by doing that, but I guess I can't stop you, so go ahead. And then he goes into the villa alone. We get a flashback of Arata as a boy complaining that he wasn't allowed to have friends, so he could remain focused on his role, a role that was unnecessary and he didn't need to do as a person who keeps gift users in line, a thing that there was no need. Eventually, when Mio did appear and his life finally had some purpose, she didn't need him to protect her, making him unnecessary once again. He reflects on how his life's work was a waste of time, when suddenly now she appears. Arata draws his pistol, but now she is like, I'm just here to talk, man. I'm not gonna fight you. He says that Arata reminds him of a younger version of himself, and he comments that Arata is without purpose, without Mio. And, you know, I can give you some purpose if you want. The gift in communion is always welcoming new members. And that scene ends. Much time passes. Mio hasn't seen Kariko since the night of the attack. We cut to Mukadayama meeting with Mio in the kitchenette, and he apologizes to her and reveals that those officers that said women were a burden, yeah, it turns out he was one of those guys too. He didn't like her the whole time. But seeing how she stood up to now, she really changed his mind. And he tells her that he's going to try to change everyone's mind about women from now on.
Thanks.
It's that easy. Mio asks Kariko, Mukudayama says that she'll be punished, but he's going to request leniency for her considering her performance in the fight and how she wasn't really trying to portray them. Mm-hmm. We cut to New Year's Eve. Mio, Kyoka, Hazuki, Nai, and Goto, and Arata all eat dinner together. They haven't seen each other in a while, so they catch up a bit, but Arata seems pretty distant. Goto gets drunk and says Mio and asks Mio why she's not drinking, and Mio says that she doesn't drink. And I'm like, damn, I bet she'd tell a joke if she drank.
Oh, the girl accidentally eats, liqueur chocolate, and then she's drunk somehow off chocolate that had alcohol, and then that's the chance to, like, be cute with the boy. We're getting nothing. Where's the romance? We get one little kiss, and it's like, on to, get married already.
No, we don't get any scenes like that. Instead, everybody just hangs out. Later, Mio is sent by Hazuki to get more coal, and then she, like, signals to Kyoka because this is a setup. Mio goes outside and sees Kariko by the fence. She runs to her, and Kariko explains that she's being sent back to Kyoto as our punishment, so this is the last time she's going to see Mio for a while. Kariko apologizes for everything and asks Mio if they can still be friends, and Mio hugs her and says yes, of course, and it starts snowing as they look up at the moon. Arata also looks at the moon and recites some ominous poetry to himself. And elsewhere, Prince Takahito apologizes to someone for putting them through a rough time as we cut to credits.
I'm assuming that's our crew that's going to be going through a rough time.
Yeah, I assume it's
is Arata going to be a mole and he's going to join the cult and we're going to be led to believe that he's joined, but he's actually just trying to, like, blah, 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 just make a new life for himself. Oh
yeah, for sure. He's for sure gonna be a double agent.
Something's going down. Halfway through, I mean, a lot more going on this season than the first one.
Yep, this episode had quite a bit of stuff. Again, you know, the stuff with Kariko.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking, like,
I don't know what to say about that. It's too fast. It's
yeah. Finally, we get. Get that other female out of here.
What the heck, man? I want her to have friends and she's leaving. Characters.
Yeah.
That's no good.
When are we going to see Hazuki's kid again?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's got to be soon.
Bring him back.
I feel like we're really flying through season two.
Happy times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Okay, I'm just like, there's not enough romance.
There is very little romance.
Be like, I'm willing to watch this for the good romance, but there isn't really.
I mean, it's mostly
much.
Just like the Mio show, which I'm liking now because I like Mio in season two a lot, but
yeah,
like, it's a little disappointing that, like, the reveal that now she calling her his daughter is just him being weird and possessive and not actually related to anything. It seems like that was a little disappointing.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's not like, oh, you'll just replace your mother's role as my object of affection, and instead of calling you my daughter, now I'm gonna be all like, you can be my lady instead.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. Evil. But it's not, I mean, maybe we're not done with it. Maybe it'll turn out that he's like, oh, she thought she was, well, that's not good. I don't like that thought. Never mind.
It's a thought that happens.
You know, the illusion guy can make illusions, and who knows what can happen then. He's good at fighting, but he runs away from Kyoka. I'm trying to think of what else happens. Katayama apologizes for not believing in women.
I find the parts of like the relationships between people a lot more interesting than any of this other stuff. And it's just a lot of like, oh, the future danger, but also it's the same danger because we're gonna keep falling for traps and then rush back and save her. She's still not saving herself.
Yeah. They're being very reactive.
Yeah, so let's show us some initiative, people.
Yeah, I do like the errata stuff this episode, though. Like, I do like how we're gonna circle back to the fact that everything he's been training for his entire life was a waste of time.
Yeah, we know more about him than we knew about Kyoka.
Yeah, I think that I like errata because that's real. Like, it's cool that he turned out to be a good guy last season. It kind of felt like it was a little out of nowhere, but it's not out of nowhere because, like, this is just the only thing he's had going on, and he finally got to do his job, and it turns out he didn't have to do his job. And he's, like, kind of mad about it.
He could have had friends this whole time. Grandpa was like, no, you can't have friends.
Yeah, and it was all for nothing. Like, he had to sacrifice his entire childhood for no reason.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. So, I like errata. I mean, it looks like we're going to be getting a lot of him in the next couple of episodes. So, hopefully it's good. I like him. I'm sympathetic to his backstory. We need to get something with Kyoka, man. He's got to have some character arc this season, right? There was a thing with his mom, but he didn't really do anything for that.
No, he didn't. It's again, Mio doing everything.
Yeah.
Which we like for her, but not for our male lead that we're supposed to also be engaged with.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what we got here. But we're halfway.
We'll see. Yeah. Oh, I know. It's like people I'm seeing on like the shoujo sub. Well, because Yona of the Dawn is one that came out probably a decade ago, season one, which to me, I didn't watch. But I was like, oh, this is a rip of Fushigi Yugi. But people are like, oh, if Yona of the Dawn had come out now, it would be just as popular as the Apothecary Diaries. So like, what is it about right now that is making it that something like Apothecary Diaries can be successful, where something that's way better in their opinion, Yona of the Dawn, did not 10 years ago? So it's like, I don't know, maybe we will have a little bit of a shoujo renaissance. We had the long way to Kimi Todoke season 3. Now we're getting a season 2 of Yona of the Dawn. I guess we had the Fruits Basket remake.
Right. There's the magical night, whatever.
Oh, Magic Knight Ray Earth or whatever. Yeah, that's coming. So hopefully, I guess we had like the Sailor Moon Crystal, but I feel like Sailor Moon hasn't gone anywhere ever.
No, that was kind of always
constantly in
the.
Yeah.
Like, it does feel like we're getting past. Well, maybe not. We're getting past. I don't know. Is there a lot of. No. Magical Girl stuff is still like eaten by Precure, right?
Oh, I don't know. Precure is not something that was ever on my radar.
Well, it's for younger kids.
Because Shonen has been skewing more romance too, so maybe that's just like opening the door for us to have
shoujo
return.
I feel like what's going on with Shonen is like they're like harem Shonen used to be a thing, and now they're kind of lightening that.
We're all getting freaking over it.
Yeah, I think they're like lightening bit so where that's becoming more like normal romance. So I don't know, but it's still, who knows what's going on. Hard to tell.
I guess we got the Rose of Versailles movie at least, so that was something we had, you know, years ago. We got the card capture, the clear card. So like there's been attempts and there's
but that's big stuff. So those are big franchise things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, well, I hope
the Yona of the Dawn does good. Because now I'm like, oh, maybe we should cover that if season 2 is about to come out. But I'm also like, I would rather us cover Fushigi Yugi first, which I think is the better version of it that's older, and then Ancient China, which is cool.
Yeah.
But that's a long series and we've got a lot.
Yeah. I mean,
what is the like soonest we can have our thumb on the pulse of what's coming in anime? Like, how in advance? The movies, it's like, oh, you know that they're working on a movie years before it comes out. I'm like, we need to be like looking at what's coming out so we can try and be synced with it. If shoujo things are going to be coming out and there's stuff we need to watch in advance of that so we can jump on the
But I feel like how
in advance do we know these things? I feel like it's not that far in advance.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I mean, they announce stuff like, oh, this will be released this season or like in fall of 2 years from now or whatever. But like, one, that moves all the time because projecting that far out is hard. And two, that also doesn't really get, that gives you like a 3 month window of like when it could be happening. So it's, yeah, it's kind of hard. I do think like we probably need to have, at least I need to have more of a like foundational knowledge of stuff. So I am all for like, oh, we should watch Fushigi Yugi first so we can compare that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I would like to do that. I would very much like to do that.
I mean, one thing we could consider doing, which I don't know if you would like, is that we could watch two shows at the same time where we cover one show in the depth that we do. And the other show is like, I give a summary of an episode that's a paragraph long, or maybe we watch more than two episodes at a time. So we can kind of get through some stuff faster, but it's like a backup show more than anything, just so we can clear more shows without like blowing up our runtime significantly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, less summary, less talking about it, more just like having it. Maybe that's for stuff we're like less excited about. Maybe that's for just older stuff that has a bajillion episodes.
Right. Yeah, well, we should on with. Probably. Yes. Because we're going to tackle the big shows at some point. And well, we have what, 6 episodes left of this? Should we just do 3 and 3?
Do you want to shift to 3 and 3
for the remainder?
There's also
of
an
OVA.
So I think there's 13. So we could do 2 next time and then 3 and 3.
Okay. Let's do that. I'm excited. Yeah, because you're right, it because this is a short, well, we're doing back-to-back seasons, which ideally, I don't know, I guess if we cover the older shows, I'm like, I feel like things weren't even divided into seasons back then, at least like, you know, with Bleach or whatever, they would like package it in distinct season boxes. But I feel like something like Fushigi Yugi probably got like just one big box, even though it's like 50 plus episodes.
Yeah, I mean, we can think about, because we haven't covered any like mega series like that, right? Which is like what I'm calling like they used to just make a ton of, like, it would just air every week, right, for you know, 6 months, and then they would take a 3 month break, and then they would do that again for another 6 months or something like that. So I feel like we can mess with our formula a little bit. Like, I feel like the pace we go at with these two episode things is really good for like close readings of stuff. And like really getting down into the details of things, and like can have a better understanding, like even watching like even this episode, right? Like really put in the forefront the idea of like pacing, in terms of if you can signal things earlier, so it's not like all the development is happening at once, is like an important thing to me enjoying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't have noticed that if we just watched, you know, 6 episodes in a row. So I think we can kind of divide, when we're going forward, kind of divide like, shows that we want to cover in that much depth versus shows that we kind of just want to kind of glide through and have like a more, like, not like a shallow take, but like a less, spend less time on it, right? And maybe
because there's ones that I can think of where I'm like, oh, I don't know if this is all of it's very good. There's like good moments of it, so I wouldn't want to spend that much effort on all of it. But there's, so I think stuff like a lot of shoujo just has like, oh, the anime wasn't that good, but like it has the bits that were good from the manga, but the anime is long and I don't want to have to cover the whole thing. And then we could just do a more shorter coverage of it so that we can still touch on it. And And then if we've done anything of the anime, then we, at some point, if we want to do the manga as a bonus series, we can do that.
Yeah.
In more depth. Yeah.
So new year, new messing with the formula, maybe a little bit for us. It was also very funny that this episode had a New Year's party, and I was like, yay, that just happened.
I know. Yeah. New Year's. Yeah. Oh, man.
That was pretty good.
I mean, what a time. You just sit around, eat, drink, hang out.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
We all love a new year, I guess.
Well, we're here, 2026, and February 11th will be our 2-year anniversary.
Yeah, 2 years. 2 years. Whee! Of the Shoujo podcast. And if you've been enjoying those last 2 years, or however much time you've been listening, you can rate us 5 stars on your podcast platform of choice. If you leave a comment in Apple Podcasts, I might read it. I might read it on air if it's 5 stars. If it's any number, other number of stars, I will ignore it like it never happened. So yeah, you can reach us. You can email us at shoujopod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And
pod.
Yep. What's it called? I don't know what the handle is on that, actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a Shoujo podcast on Instagram. Yeah. Maybe I'll post if I get any good cosplay photos. I know. I'm like, should I just wear the Shoujo shirt under my... I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I need like a scan for my podcast keychain or something.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
This convention, I was reading it. It's like, oh, only if you buy a weekend pass do you get a badge. Day passes only get a wristband, which is going to be one of those crappy ass ones. So I don't get to add a thing to my collection, which makes sense because it probably costs a lot of money to print out badges like that. But also, you are charging me a lot to go. So
yeah.
For a single day.
I don't know.
Give me a badge.
Give me a badge.
Oh.
Yeah. Always hand out free stuff. What did we learn this episode?
Romantic. I don't know. I like the lesson we learned in the show. Romantic love doesn't have to outweigh platonic
so
love.
True. There were a couple times in these episodes when I was cheering. That was one of them. Very good stuff.
Yeah.
I also cheered when Kyoka's like, I don't need to join the military. I could just not use my power any, you know, I don't want to seek power. I want to just be a chill guy and not join the military and not join the Japanese Imperial military. Sure hope nothing bad happens with them. Deny the hero's call. Just don't show up. You know what? Whatever. If you're like, if your friend dies because he's the commander of the army who should have retired but didn't, that's on him, man. It's not your job to take that job away from him.
It doesn't have to be you.
Yeah, he can retire.
Yeah, he can find someone else to take the job.
Yeah. If he doesn't have a good replacement, that's a failure of the like school education system. It's not your problem. Don't make it your problem.
Yes.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Your dad just was fighting dudes without being in the military too. He was just taking them down. You didn't even need to join the military, Kyoka. You could have just been like your dad and done whatever the heck he does.
Although, wait, didn't we learn that they keep surveillance on everyone with power?
Yeah.
So it's like, what is that all about?
Maybe this is why you shouldn't join the government.
Oh man. All right. Okay, everyone. Next time. My Happy Marriage Season 2, episodes 7 and 8.
Yep, 7 and 8, and then we'll do 3 and 3.
Yeah, so see you then.
See ya.
On Shoujo. Bye. Happy New Year, all that.
Bye.
Bye.